Hello everyone, bringing you the latest developments from global conflicts. Today we are going to dive into a critical situation in Western Africa, specifically in Mali, where Russia's Wagner Group has suffered a significant setback. It is estimated that some 84 Russian Wagner fighters and 47 Malian soldiers were killed in an ambush in Mali's northern Kidal region near the border with Algeria on July 27th, Saturday. So who killed the Wagner fighters? This fight happened in Sahel region of Mali over the weekend. Jihadis and Tuareg rebels in Mali killed the Russian private military contractors and Malian soldiers. Tuareg people are the largest ethnic group in Mali. This event is being described as one of the largest battlefield losses for the Wagner group in recent years. Now the question is, what were the Russia's Wagner fighter doing in Mali? After France withdrew its troop from Mali in 2022, Mali's military government, known as Junta, turned to Russia for security assistance against Islamist groups. The Wagner Group, a Russian private military company, was deployed to Mali to help combat terrorism and provide security. It is important to note that several countries have been involved in Mali: Russia, France, United Nations, then regional organizations like the Economic Community of West African States, ECOWAS. They all are involved in fighting terrorism. Even the United States is involved, but not directly. They are involved indirectly. They provide economic and intelligence support to this regional organization, ECOWAS. Now, how did terrorism enter Mali? To understand this, we need to look back at the historical and geopolitical landscape of Mali. The instability in Mali can be traced to the aftermath of the NATO intervention in Libya, which led to the collapse of the Libyan state. NATO played a significant role in the 2011 Libyan civil war, which ultimately led to the overthrow of Muammar Gaddafi. And that civil war led to the dispersal of huge amount of weapons across the region. After Gaddafi's regime fell, many of the weapons stored in Libya's storehouse were looted or sold on the black market. These weapons then found their way into the hands of various armed groups and militias, both within Libya and in neighboring countries. Now this led to instability and violence in the region, particularly in countries like Mali, where armed groups have used these weapons to fuel conflict. These weapons fueled the rise of various militant groups, including the Tuareg separatists and Al-Qaeda affiliates, who have been active in the Sahel region for years. Now how were the Wagner fighters killed? It was actually an ambush. These Russian fighters were traveling over a 40-kilometer long desert track. They were attacked from both sides by the alliance of Tuareg separatists and Islamist group, Al-Qaeda's branch, Jamaat Nusrat al-Islam wal Muslimin. These two groups formed an alliance and attacked the Russian fighters. Now, an interesting thing that I want to point out over here is that these rebel and Islamic forces do not have that much of capability to kill so many professional Russian private military fighters in one single ambush. It is practically not possible given the kind of weapons these jihadis and rebel forces have. The kind of armory these groups possess is limited to small arms like assault rifles, machine guns, pistols, grenades, then RPGs, man-portable air defense system, Toyota vehicles, pickup trucks and motorcycles equipped with machine guns. On the other hand, apart from these weapons, Wagner fighters have drones, unmanned aerial vehicles and other sophisticated equipment for surveillance and reconnaissance missions. So how is it that these jihadist and rebel fighters were able to kill Russian fighters? Andrei Yusov, he is the spokesperson for Ukraine's military intelligence agency, told in a press interview that the Malian rebels had received all the information they needed, which allowed them to carry out their operation against the Russian Wagner fighters and Malian soldiers. With this statement, you can easily figure out that it is the Ukrainian military that has helped these jihadist and rebel groups. Even the American CIA is involved. So how did this ambush happen? There was no direct engagement between the two parties. Small kamikaze drones were used. Ukraine and America provided these drones to the jihadists. These are the same drones that were used in the Moscow attack. A Ukrainian company called Ukrjet made them. We keep hearing news about how Ukraine's cheap drones are destroying Russia's multi-million dollar tanks. Tanks are vulnerable from top, while their sides are typically reinforced with thick, heavy armor to protect against incoming fire. The top of the tank is often less heavily armored, and these kamikaze drones hit the tanks from above. So these same drones were used in the ambush against the Wagner group. I've always said that Ukraine's land is a testing ground for Western countries to experiment with new weapons and military technology. In this war, you must have noticed one thing, the significant role of AI, used in a very complex manner under the umbrella of robotic warfare. Another thing that you must have observed is that there is a need to reduce the cost of this robotic military technology. In a conventional war, you see the use of tanks, artillery and infantry. But today, AI can eliminate the need for all of that. That's why you see that Ukraine has been able to create very cheap drones. By spending just a couple of $100, Ukraine is producing 3D printed drones. These drones carry a bomb and drop it on a $1 million tank. And they have been able to do this repeatedly. There is a company called Firestorm based in California. They produce unmanned autonomous system. If you look at these words, unmanned autonomous system, it means the drones will perform a specific function without human intervention. It operates independently, making decisions and taking actions based on its own sensors, algorithms and data. Then companies like Kobold, EOS is providing Ukraine with 3D printing technology. The point I'm making is that there are exceptionally intelligent people, probably PhD holders, in the United States as professors, research scholars and full stack developers in prestigious Ivy League universities who are developing algorithms capable of doing things beyond our imagination. Many of them are working for the US government to create the next generation of asymmetric warfare technology. All of this is happening behind tight security walls. A glimpse of their work can be seen in the ongoing war between Ukraine and Russia. So if you see, there is an asymmetric warfare happening between drones and conventional military. Cheap drones are being equipped with algorithms developed by highly intelligent individuals sitting far away in some cozy high-tech lab. And these drones are being used to challenge traditional military tactics and strategies. It is all about creating complex algorithms for drones. These algorithms can enable drones to perform tasks like autonomous flight, target identification, and even limited decision making. In the case of Wagner Group ambush in Mali, drones equipped with techniques like feature detection, object tracking were used to identify and track targets in real time. And that's what killed 84 Russian Wagner fighters and 47 Malian soldiers. Do you think some random jihadis and rebel groups possess that much of capability to take out so many soldiers and fighters in one single ambush? Not possible. It was the Western mind at play. What's basically happening now is that the war between Russia and Ukraine is spreading to Western Africa. Or you could say that it's extending to wherever Russian fighters or their military are operating in the world. Some people, especially Ukrainian supporters, might feel that it's a good thing to retaliate against Russia, no matter where or to what extent. But you need to understand that by creating instability and conflict everywhere in the world, who benefits from it? Only those who can supply weapons in the form of solution. So think about it. This war is turning into a business opportunity. Now let's try to understand the situation in Mali. Mali is a vast and remote country with challenging terrain. It has seen repeated conflicts and failed attempts at stabilization. Colonel Assimi Goïta is a Malian military officer who became prominent after leading a coup in August 2020 that overthrew President Ibrahim Boubacar Keïta. The coup was motivated by widespread dissatisfaction with the government's handling of security issues, corruption and economic challenges. Following the coup, Goïta became the head of the National Committee for the Salvation of the People, the military junta that took control of Mali. The Malian military then needed security assistance from foreign countries to stabilize their nation and fight against jihadis and various rebel groups that were spreading terrorism. Initially, they sought help from their Western partners like United States and France. But things didn't work out with them. So from May 2021 onwards, Colonel Assimi Goïta started leaning more towards Russia. Now let me quickly explain why it happens that most African leaders tend to lean more towards Russia compared to Western countries' leaders. African leaders who favor Russia over Western countries often do so for several reasons. Number one, Russia generally adopts a policy of non-interference in the internal affairs of African countries. If you look at Western nations, they often attach conditions related to governance, human rights and democracy to their aid. Russia tends to offer support without such strings attached. This appeals to leaders who want to maintain greater control over their domestic policies. Number two, Russia provides military support, training, arms sales without the same level of scrutiny or conditions as Western nations. The presence of private military contractors like the Wagner Group, which operates in countries like Mali, Central African Republic and others, offers security assistance that some African leaders find valuable in dealing with internal conflicts and insurgencies. Number three, during the Cold War, The Soviet Union supported many African liberation movements against colonial powers. This historical connection still resonates with some African leaders who see Russia as a partner that helped them in the past. Number 4. Russia offers economic cooperation, including investments in natural resources, energy, and infrastructure projects, often with fewer demands for transparency and governance reforms. If you look at the Western investors or institutions like IMF and World Bank, they impose conditions and use every tactic to keep you bound to their policies. Number 5. Aligning with Russia provides a counterbalance to the influence of Western countries, particularly former colonial powers. It allows African leaders to diversify their international partnerships and avoid over-reliance on Western aid or support. And number 6. Many African leaders share Russia's criticism of Western policies, particularly regarding interventions in the Middle East and Africa, which are often perceived as driven by Western interests rather than the needs of local populations. Russia's stance on these issues resonates with leaders who feel that Western countries often act unilaterally or without sufficient respect for the sovereignty of African nations. Now, if you look at these African countries, they are not wealthy enough to offer much in return for security assistance, whether it be money or something else. So, what exactly are these countries offering to Russia or any other nation in exchange for security assistance? How is the deal being done? So, this is where you have to understand that, besides security and military operations, the Russian private military company also controls a small share of the country's local resources. Even though Africa may not be wealthy, it is abundant in natural resources. There is a wealth of various minerals, metals, energy resources, precious stones, forest products, and agricultural resources found in Africa. Even the African leaders are aware of this. They are aware of the fact that they don't have huge amount of money. What they do have is natural resources. On top of that, the technology that they own for extracting these resources isn't very advanced. So they use these natural resources as a form of currency to secure security assistance from larger countries. In exchange, they give a portion of these resources. This way, the foreign country brings in the technology, handles the extraction, keeps a portion of the resources, and provides security help. This kind of deal is very beneficial. So that is how these mutual partnerships work for African countries. Now, if you look at Mali, Mali is rich in several natural resources like gold, cotton, salt, and phosphate, oil and gas, bauxite, and uranium. Recently, Mali's ruling military junta signed three cooperation deal with Russia's state nuclear company Rosatom. This means that Russia is not only providing security assistance to Mali, but it is also showing significant interest in Mali's uranium reserves. That's how the Russian Wagner Group not only provides security services, they were also guarding strategic uranium mining sites in Mali. As I mentioned earlier, there are six reasons why African leaders tend to favor Russia more than Western countries. Now, regarding the uranium, Western countries are also aware that there are uranium reserves in Mali. However, Mali decides to do business with Russia because they know it's beneficial for them. Russia, in return, will design a low-power nuclear power plant for them. Even United States knows that Russia came to Mali with a specific purpose. That is why in Mali, Ukraine was used as a pawn to have Russian Wagner fighters killed, so that the blame does not directly fall on America. As I mentioned, those who support Ukraine and think that Ukraine's involvement in what happened with the Russian Wagner fighters in Mali is a good thing, they need to understand that if a regional conflict spreads to other areas, it is not a good thing. The consequences of such a spread could be very severe, because any kind of regional instability or conflict creates a situation where people have no choice but to leave the area and migrate to a more peaceful environment. Now, where will people from African countries migrate to? They will move up to Europe. I have made a very detailed video on European migration. Watch that video and you will get a good understanding of the root of this issue. European countries are already troubled by migration issues. And I'm not just talking about any migration, but specifically Muslim migration. Crime rates have increased significantly and every day there are reports about various incidents happening in some or the other European countries. Some people, especially Ukrainian supporters, might feel that it's a good thing to retaliate against Russia, no matter where they are in the world. But you need to understand that by creating instability and conflict everywhere in the world, who benefits from it? Only those who can supply weapons. So think about it. This war is turning into a business opportunity. United States has its own agenda, and they're using extremism to influence global dynamics. United States interfered in Bangladesh as well. They created instability through student protest, and their goal is to gradually take away India's freedom or autonomy and force India to agree with the West. If India doesn't do that, then they will pit India against multiple fronts, causing conflict on all sides, which is what has happened after this Bangladesh political coup. Bangladesh is the third front for India. Then look at the case of Germany. US has acted ruthlessly, dismantling Germany's economy with its reckless actions. Destruction of the Nord Stream 2 pipeline was a CIA operation. It has pushed Germany into an economic crisis due to a lack of energy. Now look at the Iraq war. Al-Qaeda's total strength was 10,000. Today, after the US withdrawal from Afghanistan, Al-Qaeda's strength in Afghanistan has increased to 50,000. Their numbers have grown fivefold, and they possess weapons they didn't have before, including military boots, Toyota vehicles, and sophisticated gear. Have you ever imagined how are they getting all of this? Al-Qaeda now includes converted white individuals who are even more radical than native Muslims. They have used these individuals to carry out attacks in Moscow and Iran. We must recognize that the US has its own agenda and they are using extremism to influence global dynamics. This is a well-planned strategy by a declining power seeking to retain control through new means. I hope you found this video informative. Thank you for watching it.